You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. I'm Anthony Cashman, joined by Scott Merkin. Merk, are you staying warm in Chicago? How you doing?
I am. I have to give a shout-out, actually, to someone you know, too. I just came back from Orlando for the wonderful wedding of Mrs. Kelly Schultz, formerly known as Kelly Fager, who worked for MLB.com for a number of years, was the White Sox associate reporter in 05, and covered the Twins for, I think, 5 or 6 years after that for us.
Yes, and Facebook stalking being what it was, I can see it was a lovely time had by all. Kelly Fager, like Laser, we're all happy for her. Former White Sox intern, former Twins beat writer. Nice shout-out, Merk, but let's get down to business.
There you go.
Speaking of business, Jeff Smarja, extension talks there as far as just being open to extension talks, which is always funny. I mean, who is not open to the concept of tremendous amounts of money offered to them? I don't think anybody reasonably – I mean, certainly not before the season. This is a new team for him. Maybe mid-season this is the kind of thing if he's settled in and comfortable, but – you know, with the way pitching contracts have escalated, you wonder if he's tempted to hit the open market. At the same time, the open market could be pretty crowded next winter, too, so that has to play into his thinking a little bit. What are your thoughts on that, Merk?
Yeah, you know, I thought the comments, as you said, were pretty much, I don't want to say expected, but, you know, politically correct, is that the way to put it? That, of course, they're going to listen to the White Sox. You know, Jeff Smarja grew up a White Sox fan. He knows Chicago well. He pitched for the Cubs, I believe, for 7 years here. And, you know, he knows the area, he knows the fans, he knows what to expect. But, you know, he also said that, you know, they're going to wait and see how it plays out. I mean, you know, everything looks great on paper, but there are some teams over the last few years, the Marlins for one, I think the Blue Jays for another, who can attest that, you know, on paper. And Chris Sale told me this a couple weeks ago, you know, the game certainly is not won on paper. So you got to see how everything fits. And I think, you know, basically his stance hasn't changed much since he started talking about this, even when he was with the A's last year visiting Chicago to play the White Sox, that, you know, you get to this point and you want to kind of test the open market. Now, maybe he goes through half a year and the Sox are lights out, or and forget about it, even if they're lights out, he just really loves the fit here, and the Sox make what they think is going to be, you know, a good market offer, and they say, okay, let's do it, you know. But I know it was a story on that Sunday, and I think it was, you know, good comments by his agent, Mark Rogers, but I also think it was not much different than what you expected. Of course, they're going to listen to the White Sox. Of course, if they play well and it's a good fit, he's going to have an edge. But there was still nothing about, you know, yeah, we're tabling free agency until we hear everything the Sox has to offer. You know, I mean, I think it's the best of both worlds for him that he's got a really good option in the White Sox, who I'm sure are going to make a competitive offer. But if he decides, well, that's great, but let's see what's out there, he's going to have that chance too. Now, of course, the other thing he's banking on is not having an off year or not getting hurt or anything like that. But that's the thing that a player always is got to kind of bet on yourself to get through this.
Well, one thing that works in the Sox favor, and it's worked in their favor in general this offseason, is having some reasonable contractual control of their other starting arms. And speaking there about Chris Sale, whose contract is ridiculously team friendly for a pitcher of that ilk. Hector Noesi, this is his first arbitration year, right? Right, Merk?
And don't forget Quintana's contract, which is extraordinary.
And Quintana's contract is extraordinarily team-friendly, and the Danks contract is the only onerous one, and that expires after 2016. So they have room to basically keep this group, the forefront of this group, together for quite a while if they can work out something with Smarja. And then Carlos Rodon, of course.
You know. And don't forget Frank Montes is down there and Chris Beck. Yeah. And, you know, they have some young arms coming, too. I mean, two things. One thing the Sox have done, even in the past when things were kind of good and, you know, not so good and some contracts are questionable, they've always done a good job, it seems, of keeping pitching together and not really going out. I can't remember the last time. You know, they signed John Danks, and John Danks had some good years, and then he got hurt, and now he's kind of trying to figure out where he is as a pitcher. And it's getting, you know, he had some good signs last year. A great clubhouse guy, great guy on the team. So, you know, that I understood where they were going in that direction, but they really don't overpay too much for pitching. You know, they offered Tanaka a lot last year when he came from Japan, but that was, you know, what you had to do if you're going to get in that kind of bidding. So they seem to have it locked out. And the second part to that I was going to say is that during this offseason, one of the great things, aside from the obvious that Rick Hahn has done, is that he really hasn't jeopardized the future. You know, Marcus Simeon, Chris Bassett, Ron Helvervello, and Josh Bagley, all solid players. probably Fegley, Bassett, and Semien would have helped the team this year in some capacity. But again, not guys who are on, you know, MLB.com's top 100 list, not guys who are really in the top five of the prospects list. So gave up good players, but didn't give up anyone that you said, okay, Tim Anderson, this is a guy who quite possibly when Alexi's contract is done, even if we pick up the option, he's going to slot in as a starting shortstop. Or Frank Montes, this guy could pitch late for us in relief, or this guy could be a great fifth starter for us. And of course, Carlos Rodon goes without saying. But I mean, it's just, he really kept the team strong for the future, which was the whole reshaping process, but also apparently from what it looks right now as of February 3rd, made them a contender for 2015.
Yeah, they didn't give up anybody who's going to make Jim Callis or Jonathan Mayo break out in Hives.
Exactly. Good moves.
I guess Danks is in some ways the X factor for this rotation. Yeah, I think we all feel good about the front three of Sale, Samardzija, and Quintana. And we all feel good about the upside of Rodon, you know, as he transitions to the big leagues at some point this summer. But Danks is obviously a veteran who's had his injury issues and pretty much trying to reinvent himself in some ways, more of the Mark Burley model, you know, as we lose some of that velocity and try to outsmart people, working on that changeup, I'm sure. It sounds like Don Cooper and him have spent some time together here this winter. What do you think of Danks as we get close to spring training here, Merck?
Yeah, John Danks is married to a very talented country singer, Ashley Monroe, so they live in Nashville now in the offseason, whereas where Don Cooper also lives. So they've had a chance to talk a few times. And you know, John's about as hard as worker as you're going to find. And trust me, John, you know, I mean, John had some great years. John probably pitched, you know, his greatest game and maybe the most memorable single game in White Sox history in that blackout game to beat the Twins in 2008 when they beat him 1-0 to win the AL Central and go to the playoffs. So this is a competitor. You know, it's a lot of cliche, but he's changing his style. Don Cooper told me that in the offseason. You know, he's changing his arm angle, working on his delivery a little bit. And he, you know, Coop said when Danks came back from the shoulder surgery that it was going to be more Burley-like. And people kind of laughed and said, well, that's a barometer from the past. You know, he was a guy who was great here. They're great friends, you know, in that same sense. But it really is. I think, you know, John Danks is not – I think John is kind of – not tired, but, you know, over kind of talked about the velocity. Your velocity is different because he still was a good pick. He still had signs last year. He finished strong. He had a good run in the middle of the season. He had some kind of up and down spots. You know, it's pretty simple with him. He's got to control the walks and keep the ball in the ballpark. And I guess that's pretty safe for any pitcher. But a guy who's got a little bit of a velocity drop and a little bit of a different style has got to figure that out. But one guy I wanted to touch on real quick that you said, and we've talked about him a couple times in the podcast, Anthony's wrote down, and I think he really could be, again, I've said this a number of times, the X factor this year, either as a third lefty giving you a huge boost in the bullpen, or maybe a guy, you know, in June who comes up to the rotation, and instead of adding someone, you add him, and he makes, whatever, 20 starts the rest of the year. And people talk about don't rush him, don't do this, but remember, he pitched 3 years at college baseball, so if this kid's ready, this kid is ready. There's not a thing about rush. I talked to him for, you know, not a huge amount of time, but a significant amount of time at Sox Fest. And this is a confident kid. You know, he believes in himself. He likes the changeup that he brought out last year. He didn't have to throw that in college because the fastball and slider was so dominant. And I just think this kid could really be a boost to Sox knee without giving up anyone or spending any money to add anyone as the season goes on.
Yeah, if he can develop that third pitch, that changeup you mentioned, and I know you've spoken to him at length about that pitch and the development of that pitch. I believe you have a story on the website this week about that, correct?
It's going to be up. It's going to be up today. It will be. Yeah. It's coming in. It's interesting because I think the fourth pitch he has, believe it or not, is confident. You know, I mean, I asked him, do you need, you know, the Sox do a lot with the cutter, and he said, you know, because he felt like he can do the slider in a couple different ways, either bring it up around 90 or drop it down to like 83, 84 and make it bigger, that's almost two pitches. But he also knows, he's already aware that, you know, you don't want to throw that slider too much or you end up having difficulties later on. And, you know, the changeup, not just by him, but people who saw him, scouts I've talked to, Nick Capra, the esteemed minor league director for the Sox, they really thought, you know, the changeup was better than what they expected because of the fact that he literally hardly ever threw it in college. But just a kid who believes in himself and, you know, real quiet, not quiet, but low-key, smart kid off the field, and you get to the mound and he knows what he wants to do and he's not going to let you beat him.
Well, I'm intrigued by Rodon, and, you know, the chains have really moved as far as what we consider rushing a kid to the big leagues because there's so much money invested in these draft picks that teams are often a little more willing to rush him a little bit and see what they've got at the big league level. But I'm intrigued by him.
I think one example of holding him last year was not calling up in September. You know, this kid went from Arizona to Winston-Salem to Charlotte, and he seemed like he was targeted for the big leagues, but, you know, they figured, well, why? We don't need to throw him up there. We've seen what we have. Let's have him rest. And they weren't, you know, quite convinced that his fastball command at that point. And, you know, it takes a little time just to kind of get the feel of each organization. You know, Chris Sale, the Sox were in a division race when they called him up and didn't have great left-handed options. So it made sense to take him from college and put him in the big leagues that year. For Rodon, it didn't last year, but I think it will this year. But again, he will dictate. If he, you know, if he doesn't break camp with the team and struggles in Charlotte or Birmingham, wherever he starts, then it may be a little longer. But I think he will dictate when he needs to be, you know, contributing with the White Sox there.
All right, intriguing young man. And another intriguing young man is Scott Merkin. I want to thank him for joining us. Hopefully Russell Wilson didn't trash Merck's suite down in Arizona.
Yeah, I hope Merck's going to be moving in there soon. Gronkowski left Arizona standing there.
Yeah. So we'll certainly catch up with Merck here again before spring training. But till then, thank you all for listening in. This has been MLB.com Extra, Chicago White Sox edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.